Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are covering Venom, Let There Be Carnage. If you haven't seen it yet, we are going to be doing a spoiler-free section up top, and then we'll be doing a spoiler section once we get into the movie. So all that right off this ad, we have no control over. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll, and Jeff and Ashley could not be here tonight. They had like six casts each to record this week on top of trivia. So they just could not be here, could not make it to this movie. But I have seen Venom, Let There Be Carnage, and my good friend Karen Huffstutler has joined me. She's been on a few Bingers Assemble episodes with me. More than a few. We did all of Fast and the Furious together. Oh my goodness. That was a lot.
Yeah, that was a lot.
That was so Fast and so Furious. Welcome, Karen. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, doing well. Let's use some proper grammar here, okay?
Yeah.
Doing well. How about you?
I'm good.
Okay.
Good. I'm doing okay. I'm very excited to have seen Venom, Let There Be Carnage. It was, I rewatched Venom today, and I guess I'll do a little quick, my little quick recap of Venom is like, I think when I first watched it, I liked it fine, but I thought it was, I think I was a little distracted thinking about how does it fit into the MCU and who is this guy and why do they never mention the Avengers? You know, like if this is the same world, why does nothing come up? You know, it's just one of those things that bothers you, but I understand it's Sony and da 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 da.
Right.
But it's something we covered for that reason that it might eventually cross over. And like the thing that I did on a rewatch, I just kind of forgot all that and just enjoyed it for what it was. And I love the character of Eddie Brock.
Me too. I think he made the movie.
100%.
Yeah.
Especially this kind of hero, an anti-hero, as it were. Like, you have to have a heart to him. And his heart for, like, the truth and saving people and helping the people that are downtrodden or whatever, like, from the very beginning as a journalist, made this movie kind of possible, made you root for him, which is incredibly important.
Yes, like his relationship with the store owner.
Mm-hmm.
That relationship is, I don't know, it's pivotal to me, to the story. It makes him so human, and it makes Venom human.
Yeah.
Almost.
Well, also, it's his relationship to everyone in the world. Like, he kind of walks around and deals with, like, a lot of, they really make the world feel fleshed out. And we're talking about the first Venom right now, but let's move into the second one. Like, spoiler free, without giving spoilers, like, what did you think of Venom, Let There Be Carnage?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. What about you? I'm hesitant to say anything because I'm like trying to make sure I'm not
saying spoil
specific
anything.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of specific spoilers to avoid. And there's really some fun stuff that if you have not seen this movie or like, I highly recommend you go see it. Like, I don't want to say anything else. Go see this movie and come back. I just really think you guys will like it.
Yeah, it's great. The fighting is good. CGI is great.
Oh, for sure.
You know, that's all to be expected. You know that's going to be in the movie, so that's not a spoiler.
There is fighting and CGI. That's not a spoiler.
And people saying lines.
The thing that I really appreciated about this one is they really gave all of the characters good motivations. Especially, I would, if you haven't watched it in a while, or if you didn't really pay attention in the first one, I'd go rewatch Venom 1. I did that today, and I think it really informed this watch. Like, the characters that return, like, they really carry through the sort of through lines that they had in the last movie. And then the villains that are in this movie are very well characterized. And they each have their own purpose and their own like guiding like
their own identity
and that made it interesting. And really, like, all the villains I believe are in the trailers, so I will mention the three villains that are in this movie. I don't think that's a spoiler. We have Shriek, who is this female female with sonic powers, and she's the love interest of Cletus Cassidy, who gets the Carnage symbiote. So those three characters together kind of form the like, but I guess that's what's so interesting about this movie. You've got these two superhero and a villain, Carnage and Venom, or an anti-hero and a villain, but they are two people each. And that is really what this movie explores, is sort of their like, the relationship between Venom and Eddie Brock, and also the relationship between Carnage and Cletus Kasady, and how those differ and how they relate to each other. And that's, I think, what it's the strength of this movie. It was the strength of the first one too, but this one, it further explores the relationship between Venom and Eddie. And that's the coolest Definitely. Parts of this movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was so happy to see Shriek. I have avoided spoilers and the trailer and everything. I don't know how, but I did. And so I didn't know she was going to be in it.
Right.
I figured someone else besides Carnage was going to be in it, but I didn't know who. And I'm glad it was Shriek because she's one of the better ones. I don't know if I would have wanted to see maybe Scorn or Agony, if anyone knows the comic book characters. The Scorn would be a good one to see. It's like a tech symbiote kind of thing.
Right.
So, or even hybrid. That would be fun.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
so many possibilities.
So far we've had two movies and each of them explored a different symbiote. So I think we're going to get more symbiotes, in the future of these movies.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, me too. And there are things in this movie that we can't talk about that I think will blow everyone's mind. So go watch this movie is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, from the very beginning to the post-credit sequence, I guess mid-credit sequence, I had my mind blown multiple times. So go check it out. Go check it out.
Oh, yeah. From the first time you see Carnage, at least for me, I was like, whoa, okay, wow. This is actually really good.
Yeah, Carnage is insanely powerful, and I've seen that in comics, and I've seen that in, like, whatever art over the years, but seeing Carnage on screen, done well, played by Woody Harrelson.
Yes.
Eddie Brock being played by Tom Hardy is amazing. Like, he's really, really, really wonderful. And then having Woody Harrelson step in as Carnage, he just plays that, like, crazy, but still charismatic so well. And there's just a lot of style to this movie, and I like it a lot. So,
yeah,
go check it out, guys. I can't say any more without spoiling things, so I'm going to talk about spoilers now. Are you ready to do that, Karen? Anything else you have to say?
No, let's get into the spoilers.
Okay, full spoiler alert. We do have people in the live watch, so if you have not seen it, we'll give you a second to get out. Also, all of you on the podcast, if you have not seen it, we're going to give a spoiler. Spoiler warning is now, because we're getting into some spoilers. Okay, we're going to do something we used to do old school on the MCU cast. Like, we haven't done it in a while. I'm going to say 3, 2, 1, and I want you to yell the biggest spoiler you can.
Okay.
Let's
see. How can I put that into, like, one phrase? Okay.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Multiverse.
Not only multiverse, but freaking, okay, it's time. Fully spoiler alert. I know. I just want to, like, make sure.
We jumped in there.
Leave if you don't know. If you don't want to know.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. We just, like, dove head first into that spoiler.
Yeah, no, we're going. They've been warned. It's time. Spoilers are active. Tom Holland is in this movie, and Venom sees him and wants to take a bite. Like, that's...
Yes.
He sees him on the TV, not in the real world, but still, like... And I think it may be a clip from another movie. Like, I don't even think they got Tom Holland to shoot anything for this movie.
Oh, no.
But, man, that obviously floored me. And the fact that, like... The fact that they shifted him out of his reality is...
Yes. Like, so cool. Yeah, Venom was trying to show him everything that, like, the symbiotes have learned over the years, kind of thing. And they've learned a lot because they've been around for so long and everywhere. And so then all of a sudden you just see everything start shaking in a big bright light. And then, like, the bedroom changes.
Yeah, the bedroom changes.
And he's in a different universe.
Yeah, he's just Venom, like, is suddenly in a different universe. He's in someone else's hotel room. So Venom is now traveling the multiverse in some way. He doesn't know how. I'm assuming this relates to what's happened in Spider-Man No Way Home with Doctor Strange trying to change the universe. So, like, this might be the first glimpse we're getting at Doctor Strange's spell.
Yes.
Is my best guess at what's going on here.
Oh, yeah. This is probably right when it goes wrong.
Yeah. So,
Venom, yeah, I like that.
whatever he's doing to like change Tom Holland's world or whatever, it's screwing with the multiverse, and it has pulled Venom into this universe. And Venom wakes up on the bed, looks at the TV, sees Tom Holland, and he licks the screen and says,
"Yes,
yummy." Oh, so good.
It's so good.
So good. I'd heard rumors that this was going to happen, and I'm so glad it did. I really wanted it. I wanted this to connect, especially me after too. Rewatching. I'm super pumped.
Yeah, I was going to be upset if it didn't tie in somehow to Spider-Man at least.
Right.
You know?
Right. The other big spoiler. Big spoiler. Another one coming at you. In this movie is our first MCM canon mutant.
What?
Well, except for in Black Widow, there was there was the bear or whatever, that bear guy, who's apparently also a mutant in the comics. But they call her a mutant. Well, they say their mutation is getting worse.
Yeah,
and she's becoming stronger, and they send her off to Ravencroft.
Yes, and that's Shriek. For anybody who didn't catch on to that, that's who we're talking about.
Yeah, Shriek is a mutant, straight up, as far as we can tell.
Is that how it is in the comics? I thought she was a symbiote. I don't know why I thought that.
I think you're right. I think there are versions of Shriek. I think I've seen like some cartoons where Shriek is in a symbiote suit, but she also has the Shriek powers. But in the ones I looked at online, most of them just had her. She looked like a normal human, and she has a scar over her eye, and she's the ones that I saw where she was dressed very 80s. But like, man, this movie, like, that was in the first moment of the first like scene.
Yes.
They say something about her mutation is getting worse. They say her powers are getting stronger, and I was just like, wait, mutant? Like, straight up mutant? They just said it. She's a mutant. And then
you leaned over to me and said something about it. I was just sitting there just watching the movie, having a good time. I'm like, oh, I did not even think about that when she said it.
Yeah.
I just accepted it and moved on.
So yeah, it's crazy that we're getting mutants, it seems like.
Yeah.
And we're getting Tom Holland, and all of that is connected to Venom. Now, the cool thing about that is this is the first slide we've gotten, except for, I guess, we should mention, I think most people that are here have seen the movie, but we should mention that Tom Holland is seen on the TV because it's the Daily Bugle, which is also connecting J.K. Simmons's J. Jonah Jameson to this universe. So I guess he is ending up in the same universe that Tom Holland is in regularly, which is the regular MCU. So right now, Venom is in the regular MCU as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
He better be in the next movie.
Do you think he'll be in No Way Home?
I didn't think about that was the next movie.
Yeah, and it's only like 2 months. Well, no, there's three movies. There's Eternals, then No Way Home. But No Way Home is only in 2.5 months. Like, it's so soon.
Wow. I'm going to put it out there. I think that they're going to have him come in some capacity. Some capacity. I don't think he's going to be the big bad or anything.
No. Well, yeah, you know, everybody's talking about like a Sinister Six type situation or something like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he's normally one of the Sinister Six. He's not. But like, I mean, maybe he shows up to help, because that's the other thing. I mean, we're talking about the two big reveals in this movie, but also Venom is officially Lethal Protector Venom from comics. Like there's a lot of funny jokes in the movie about Venom keeps saying, "We're the Lethal Protector." And Eddie's like, that sounds like an 80s cop movie or whatever.
Yeah.
It's really good. That's really, really good.
But then in the end, he accepted.
Yeah. Well, in the end, they're like, it's actually a Spider-Man moment. Do you remember the moment from comic books? And they put it in Spider-Man Homecoming, the first Tom Holland movie, where he's covered in rubble and he has to push his way out.
Right.
And it's very hard for him, and finally he gets the strength to push it through just pure force of will. That happens to Venom here, and Venom is fallen, and he's like, we can't beat him. He's like discouraged. He's like, we can't beat him. And then he says, Eddie tells him, he's like, this is the thing though, they're not they don't have symbiosis.
Yeah.
And then Venom's like, we do. And Eddie's like, that's right, we do. Like, mm-hmm. And then they push.
He's just a parasite.
Yeah, he's just a parasite. Oh.
I wish they would have come back and said the word parasite, because that was a whole big thing in the first one where he didn't like the word parasite. I would have liked that to be like a
callback. I totally agree. I think that would have been a good line. But yeah. That's what gives him the strength. Instead, the line is, because together we are, and they push together, and they say together, lethal protector, and they push the thing off. And it actually works. Like, it feels kind of moving, and it, like, works because it's kind of a joke, but not really. And, like, also, they're becoming lethal protector Venom.
Yeah.
Oof.
Okay. I do have one question.
All right.
Did you like the way that they changed the story from the comic book? Because, what are the guys' names? The human names, not the Carnage and Venom.
Eddie Brock and Cletus Cassidy.
Yeah. Okay. In the comic books, they were cellmates. Mm. Right. But this, it's more like a Hannibal Lecter kind of.
For sure.
Situation.
To be honest, I didn't know that from comics. So I'm not as comics literate as basically anyone else in any of other hosts. And that I always considered a strength because, like, I am just watching these movies for what they are. So I guess I didn't mind it. I liked what they did here.
I did too, actually.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't have to, like, go into a backstory of them knowing each other before. It streamlined everything.
For sure. I mean, they could have made him cellmates, but it would have felt rushed, I guess, because they would have had to arrest Eddie Brock, put him in prison. And Eddie is not the. He's not in prison. I leaned over to you in the movie and asked, like, what did he just say? Cause he says we're fugitives on the run, which, like, it's funny because Venom has this weird, like, 80s movie sensibility where he's like, I don't know. He's like, look at us. We're buddy cops and we're lethal protector and we're fugitives on the run. Like, I love Venom, man.
On the hunt for the one armed man.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a fugitive.
Gotta find the one armed man. Oh, I know. Believe me, I know.
Okay.
Like I said, I don't know the comics, but movies and TV, that's my jam.
Oh, well, okay. I also have one more big question. What the heck was up with that hairpiece?
Oh, was it bad? I'm so bad. I don't pay any attention to the hairpieces and stuff.
It was bad, man.
Okay. Sorry.
Anyway, I had to bring it up. No. Ashley needs to be here apparently, so we can talk about it.
Ashley, if she will, you know, come down from the mountain and watch a non Marvel Studios movie, then I think she will definitely have things to say about it. But you just thought it was really, and you're talking about Cletus's.
Yes. When he, like, breaks out of prison. You could see, like, he gets a new suit and everything, and he's looking flashy. And then you see his hair, and it looks like a rug on top of his head. And I'm just like, oh, man.
I believe it was Ashley on the MCU cast who, like, brought that up about the last movie. And after she said it, I could see it. And the post-credit sequence of Venom, the first Venom, you can tell it's, like, a really bad hairpiece. But in the trailers to this, it looked better. But I guess not all of them, not all throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, no.
Nope. Man. So let's see. The movie has a lot of cool stuff. I liked Anne again in this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I love the scene where something I didn't really catch the first, I guess I probably did, but it's been a while. Like, I love that Anne is so strong and willing and capable. Like, she saves the day in the first one by turning the speakers on and, like, destroying or helping destroy Riot, I believe, is the symbiote in the first one.
Yes.
And then, like, in this, she goes and has to, like, flirt with Venom, basically.
Oh, my gosh. That scene. Oh, my gosh. I want to do a makeup scene of the lady that was turning into Venom. Like, she was halfway Venom.
Yeah.
Oh, that looks so cool. CGI and the makeup. So good.
Oh, my gosh. The CGI and makeup in this movie were particularly good. The scene that, like, really stood out to me, because a lot of times when you do CGI scenes, they do them in the dark for a reason. They're trying to, like, sort of hide the seams and, like, make things look bright. It's just harder to do in bright daylight. But the end of this movie, they're on the beach. And Venom is like out next to Eddie. He tells Eddie he loves him, which is like super sweet. Venom's head is moving around independent of Eddie. It looks so good with the sun was like glistening off of it. It just looks great. It's right next to Eddie's face. And a lot of times when you have like a CGI element directly next to a human character, you can just really tell. But they just killed it with the CGI, especially in that scene.
It was so smooth. So smooth.
Really, really great. I got it. Did you get Little Shop of Horror vibes from the breakfast scene?
A little bit.
Oh, man.
A little bit. Yeah.
The Little Shop of Horror scene where he, like, where the plant is finally grown up fully, basically, and he's, like, using his hands to, like, call the phone, and he's, like, like operating the entire shop with his long arms. Venom was doing breakfast, I got real Little Shop of Horror vibes. Not to mention, he has a similar voice and a similar, like, sort of attitude, too. And he wants to eat people. Like I got... It's kind of...
Eat Mercy Moore.
Yeah. Venom is kind of Audrey, too, right?
kind of. Oh, man. Okay, so... For people who have already seen this movie, do y'all remember that scene with the cop and his eyes are like bright blue and black?
Oh, right.
What do we think that is?
Yeah.
Is he a symbiote now?
I don't know.
Is he toxin? No, because Venom turns into toxin, right? I believe that's what it is.
I have no idea. But I mean, you have no idea. comics are a different world, though. Like, it could be completely different here.
Yeah.
What... He also, those, that bright eye, though, that's not a symbiote thing. That's a Shriek thing.
That's true.
So, like, I think it's somehow Shriek related.
But
I don't understand how, like, at least as far as we know, that's not a power of hers.
Mm-mm.
To, like, transfer her consciousness or her powers or...
Was that after the bell fell on her?
Yes. So...
Okay. Maybe she...
He survived and somehow has become a metahuman in some way, form, or fashion. And I have no idea how or why.
Yeah. It went over my head.
Yeah.
But same. I was like, oh, someone knew. And yet I can't figure it out. And that's going to frustrate me.
Yeah.
To no end.
Man, and talking about the whole Venom jumping into the multiverse, he says right before that, he's like, Eddie says, do you keep secrets from me? And Eddie says, I've seen so many galaxies and planets that you would never known, and it would destroy your brain to know all the stuff I know. I've seen so many galaxies and universes. So Venom, or at least the symbiote hive mind, as he calls it, has traveled the multiverse. So Venom jumping into the multiverse is going to make sense to Venom, which is fun.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for this. I'm so excited. If anything, like, just watch the end credits scene. That's the best part.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the most exciting for our crowd. Yes. I was trying to tell people without ruining it, like, go see this movie. You will like it.
Yeah. Kind of like with another movie that came out recently. I'm not going to say what it is, but I was the same way. I was like, oh my gosh, y'all need to go see this. You will get a kick out of it. Yeah. I can't say anything else.
The one that was the hardest to share with people for me, and I won't say why, but you'll know if you've seen it, is the movie Split.
Oh, yeah.
That movie has a twist ending, or like a tacked on post-credit twist that like...
Connects.
It connects to something else, but like the only way to know if that matters to someone is to ask them if they've seen that other movie. And so it's like hard to even tell people to go see without ruining that scene. And so it's like, so anyway, I won't spoil it here, but Split is great. But then it's great by itself, but then the post credits connects it to another universe and it's like, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. And then everything clicks and you're just like, okay, I can't wait for the next thing to come out.
Right. Well, I guess it's already like the next thing's already come out now and everything. So maybe everybody knows, but yeah, connects.
I should hope so, but
Glass.
I'm not going to be the one to ruin it.
Right. Like,
you do that. Not me.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's pretty clear now because they've been trailers for years for, I'll say it, the movie Glass, which was a sequel to the movie Unbreakable. But for a while I was like trying to figure out how to share that with people. And it was like, do I ask, have you seen this movie? But then that ruins. Right. Yeah. It's weird.
I would have been like, what M. Night Shyamalan movies have you seen? I call it M. Night Shyamalan.
That's because
I could not spell it when I was younger, but like, I know how to say it now, but I still, it's in my head.
That's a really good actually like tactic. Like, which one of his movies do you like?
Yeah.
And then if
what's
they say
M. Night Shyamalan favorite movie,
I like Unbreakable. And then you're like, oh, then you'd really like this movie. Like that's probably a good way to do it.
Yeah.
You solved it. You're 4 years too late, but you solved it.
Yeah. Speaking of directors though.
Yeah.
You didn't know.
I had no idea this was Andy Serkis directing.
Yeah.
That is super cool.
That was the one thing I did know going into this, because I was excited about it because he was directing it.
Yeah, I guess like I don't really even know what other movies he's directed. Did he do some of the? Oh gosh, what has he? He did the Planet of the Apes, right? Did he direct Planet of the Apes? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I do know he did that. I think that's the only one I know.
Yeah, I don't know if he's did both of them. It looks like he. Yeah. Okay. I'm glancing at his. He did Mowgli. I remember that. I remember that he did
Mowgli. The PG-13 one.
Yeah.
That had like everyone up in arms because it was PG-13. It was not good anyway, so.
It's funny. Well, I can't say enough good about this movie. Like, I wouldn't put it up there in like my top of the MCU, if that makes sense, probably.
No.
But it is really, really well done. And it connects to the MCU.
Yes.
And as like a piece of superhero media, like I think it works really, really well. And like all the characters work. I wasn't super annoyed by anybody.
Right. Me neither.
It all kind of happens fast. I feel like,
yes.
It's a shorter movie compared to some in the MCU. Like, but as we discussed in the theater, not all movies have to be 2.5 hours long, you know?
Right. Yeah, I don't think I would enjoy it very much if this was a typical Marvel movie. You're sitting in your seat for 3 hours.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Venom doesn't need that much time. That would get really old really fast. One thing I would love to see, because I just want to see them interacting together, is Deadpool meeting Venom for the first time and them interacting. That's what I'm missing. That's like the only thing I am missing from the comics.
Man. So Doctor Strange's spell is going bad.
Right.
And Venom, for some reason, is just hopping into this universe with no, I mean, like he was in that moment trying to share knowledge of the multiverse. So like, did that somehow connect him to things and make him jump universes? Is that what we saw there? Or was it just completely coincidence that he was thinking of the multiverse when he like hopped?
I don't know. I would say it was a coincidence, but there are no coincidences. So
true.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I can't wait to find out though.
Same. Oh gosh.
Gosh, I can't wait for that movie to come out. Jeez, Louise.
Same. Well,
and Eternals, everything. God.
Yeah. Eternals is like weeks away and freaking No Way Home is only like 3 months away. And now that this has happened, if Venom is going to be in that movie, it's possible that they will start revealing that in the trailers and such.
Oh yeah, maybe. Well, I don't want to, I'm not going to watch them.
Oh, that's right. You're not watching the trailers. You've seen the first one though, which we got to see in theaters. And I don't know if the one online looked, there were a couple of things I noticed in the theater, maybe because it was so big, but like, there were a couple of things I noticed in the theatrical that I hadn't noticed prior.
In what movie?
In the trailer for No Way Home.
Oh, okay.
Like, I guess I never saw what it actually says on the front of the, I still couldn't completely read it.
Oh, the newspaper?
Yeah, like the newspaper looked like it said something, and like, I don't remember it saying something so clearly that we could see. And I wonder if it's just like aspect ratio stuff or like angles.
Yeah.
Or they change it a little bit for the theatrical version, but I kind of want to go back just to watch that trailer a couple more times.
Yeah.
and to go 6 more times just to watch the trailer.
That is one that I have seen, and I don't mind watching over and over again because so Spider-Man is awesome.
Yeah, and freaking Doc Ock and Green Goblin.
Ah,
I just can't wait.
Love it.
I can't wait. Anyway, I guess you got anything else to talk about in this movie?
No. I think I talked about everything. It was weird that he as in Carnage, had this moment of like integrating with tech, like a computer. He just like stuck his fingers, or what I'm calling fingers, into a computer. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that's not one of your abilities. That's one of the abilities of another character, but not him. So, I don't know. I loved him throwing part of himself at people, like little daggers.
Carnage? That was, yeah.
Yes, yes, Carnage.
The thing about Carnage that I found was interesting from like the CGI and just his like whole thing, is something that Jeff complained about when we watched the trailer together. And that is, when Cletus Kasady transforms into Carnage, he tears himself apart. Like the symbiote tears him apart to create the version, the bigger version or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I guess heals him when he comes back down to be Cletus. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's just a sense of like, he's just a different symbiote and he's a lot more, violent, and he's willing to like break all of Cletus's bones to do what he needs to do. And then when it's time to heal him, he heals him.
And they're not connected like Venom is.
Yeah, although they did seem to work pretty well together. So when he says they don't have symbiosis, I don't know if he means they don't have, because they do seem to have the same kind of physiological symbiosis, but they don't have it. Their relationship isn't working, is what I think.
Yeah, because he's getting in the way of Shriek. Carnage gets mad at Shriek because Shriek, if you know anything about her, she screams. She shrieks. That's her power. And, you know, Carnage and Venom, they're susceptible to sound waves, and that's what hurts them. So Carnage is like, she does that again, I'm going to kill her. Mm-hmm. So it was like that kind of moment in the movie where Carnage was kind of attacking her.
Yeah, Cletus starts fighting from the inside because they're at such cross purposes. And they just don't trust each other. And they shouldn't, like, neither of them really cares for the other one. And Eddie and Venom have an actual relationship. I really liked it. I like it a lot. I'm excited, really excited for him being part of the MCU and, you know, part of the MCM. Because the thing about, we've talked about it, like, that first movie had some issues where it's like you have this tech bro who's, like, doing this thing with space and aliens, and it's like, Stark just never comes up and stuff like that. Like where it's just like, this feels like this would be a Tony Stark thing, or a Hank Pym would be mentioned, or some, you know, just starts to feel like this is a separate universe. But I don't know, the fact that it is a separate universe, and now that the multiverse is open, and it's so cool because this had to happen after Loki, you know, like Loki has opened the multiverse and now Venom can just hop in. Oh, very cool.
Exciting.
Super exciting. All right. Well, I guess that's about all for us. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. And thank you, Karen, for being here. Is there anything you want to plug?
Thanks for having me. Sure. I've got a movie review page account. There we go. Account. That's the word I'm looking for. Mm. On Instagram. It's called Bullet Point Movie Reviews. It is what it says it is. They're movie reviews in bullet point style, spoiler free all the time.
Yeah.
This one will be up in maybe a couple of days. I'm going to give it a couple of days and then I'm going to put it up.
I dig it. I like the concept of Bullet Point Movie Reviews. I've said it on other casts, but I like it a lot. So yeah, go follow Bullet Point Movie Reviews on Instagram. And you do a good job of, and you watch a lot of movies too. So you're always like throwing up new movies, old movies, whatever.
You're always, I feel bad that I don't do it for TV shows. I feel like I'm leaving them out because I watch a lot of TV shows too.
Yeah, be your, you know, you got to focus. Like sometimes you just got to focus on a thing. You got a niche. You're the bullet point movie reviews.
Exactly. That has been kind of harsh lately and I feel bad. There just hasn't been any good movies. That's the problem.
Oh, I gotcha. Well, today maybe you'll get a positive bullet point movie review.
This one will.
I dig it. All right.
What about you? You going to plug anything?
Yeah. My album. Go check out my music on Spotify. I've got the new album is Save Each Other by The Garage, which is my geek music band. But really,
it's great
for this crowd. Go check out Welcome to the World by The Garage. That is my song that is Marvel related that I think you guys will enjoy. It's a lullaby. It's a Marvel themed lullaby about the delusions of parenting.
Fun.
I enjoy it.
I'll stream it in a minute.
Yeah. Welcome to the World by The Garage.
Awesome.
All right. Well, that is all from us. We'll be back soon. Thank you, Karen, again. We'll see you hopefully real soon. And go check out, if you like Fast and the Furious, go check out our Fast and the Furious coverage. Me and Karen did all whatever, 34
all Fast and Furious 15 movies. Million movies. One car after another, yep. After another.
Yeah. All right, guys. Peace.
Bye.
Until next time, true believers. Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.